It was given by two very competent actors and actresses, and I can't help saying that Marjorie and I were absolutely delighted when it was a failure.
I believe Durbridge didn't actually write the scripts for those television. I think he gave his name, but he didn't actually
Oh,
write the
really, didn't
scripts.
he?
No, I
No,
think
it
not.
wasn't good. You see, the whole point of well, it's all broadcasting is imagination. When Marge and I were fighting in, if her boat had been sunk in the lake by the villain, and we were left in the water, and the thunder and the lightning came, you could imagine it far better than any cinema or any TV production could possibly do. There used to be music. The thunder and lightning was absolute hell in those days, when we had a lot of thunder and lightning in various scenes, and it, for some reason, they couldn't put it into the studio. So while we were fighting in the water with great waves and the thunder and the lightning, it was absolutely silent for us. So it was jolly difficult, because you were shouting out, and the lightning and the thunder were controlled by a light. And when the light came on, one knew one must either shout very much louder or not talk. And so one was always terribly worried of watching these damn lights, one for the lightning and one for the thunder.
And after the Temple series finished on radio, you went back to the stage.
Yes, I did. Well, I used to. The wonderful thing about it was that Paul Temple was only one day. We used to rehearse in the morning, throughout the day, actually, and then record it at night, and so one could go back to one's play. I could be in a play and play it at the same time. So it really made no difference to my career, which just went on.
But you developed another sideline recently in being a shell artist.
Yes, I have. I was, first of all, I had a great many careers, actually. Besides being a playwright, I was an antique dealer, which started again through being an actor. That when you go on tour, in those days you used to open a play in the provinces for 8 weeks and rehearse it and get it absolutely right. They don't bother about that now. And so one had the afternoons free, and I used to go around the antique shops, and we bought a mass of antiques. And one day, my sister did the same thing. We decided we'd take a stall in Portobello, and it started from there. And I still have an antique business in Norfolk, a fairly successful one. But then I used to also go a lot abroad and collect shells. And I had all these shells, and one day I thought, well, I'll try and make something. And I sold in my shop things called Sailor Valentines, which are eight-sided pictures made of composed of shells from Barbados. And I'd been to Barbados a lot, and I used to buy these from my shop, and they were broken, and I used to mend them, and I found out how they made them. So I made my own Sailor Valentine, and then I've gone on to all sorts of other subjects, and now I have exhibitions and one or two wonderful commissions. I'm just about to do an enormous thing for a very grand yacht. So it's jolly exciting at my age to have yet a new career. What is extraordinary about the Paul Temple series is that in my last exhibition in Norfolk, which was in a private house belonging to friends, who said, people don't want to go all the way to London to see your damn things, let's show them here. So we showed them very beautifully on lovely furniture and things, so they looked wonderful, and they were lit beautifully. And in London, in Mount Street, where I have my exhibitions, we have about 35 to 40 people a day. And I said, well, I think in Norfolk, I'm sorry, I think we're going to have four or five or nothing, because we're in the depths of nowhere. To our astonishment, 300 people a day we had, which is an enormous amount. Now, this was solely due to me being on television. I went on television, Norfolk Television and Norfolk Radio, and I happened to mention I was Paul Temple. And I'm afraid they didn't come to see so much my shows. They came to see Paul Temple. And the comments after all these years, I must say most of them were senile citizens like myself, but the joy of meeting me because I had played Paul Temple, and they were so still, so enthusiastic. And one old dear came and said, I so love Paul Temple, and kissed me. I thought it was absolutely, and this is the power again of that name. After all these years, it still lives. It's still jolly good, you know. The BBC used to repeat it at Christmas, and I used to sit with friends in the dark listening to it, quite dispassionately, because I'd forgotten the plot and forgotten everything, and it still holds up. Although it's got no sex and horror and all the rest of it, it's still extremely, very slow, because in those days life wasn't so fast, and people speak so fast nowadays and so loud. So it is, in that way, it's a little bit slow. But otherwise, it still holds up remarkably. I think any actor's never really happy, and after every episode, after every Paul Temple, I used to go to bed worrying, thinking, oh, I wish I'd done something a bit different, I wish I'd gone faster there, or something like that. But my main regret was that Margin Resby and I had a wonderful idea one day. We used to rehearse in a ghastly BBC studio somewhere up the Tottenham Court Road. And this has nothing to do with the story I'm about to tell you, but I do remember we were shoved along into the lavatory one day because the acoustics there were just like a cave. And Margie and I played a scene over the lavatory pan. Most extraordinary. But to go back to what I was going to tell you, we used to break at 11 o'clock for coffee, and we all used to go out to a little Italian restaurant for coffee. And one day, Margie and I stayed and let the cast all go, including Martin, the producer. And we wrote a ninth episode, sending up Paul Temple, the series, doing all the sorts of, I said by Timothy every five words, and Margie did all the things that she, really sending it up. And we had a wonderful chap in the control room, and he agreed. And so we recorded the whole thing, playing all the scenes ourselves. And so when the series was finished, as people were packing up to go home, to their astonishment, over the microphone came, "Would you just wait while we play with the ninth episode?" So everybody thought you were absolutely mad. So they played the ninth episode, where we really sent it up. And I have always regretted it. Francis and his wife were there, and Martin was there, and of course they didn't know. And I think he was hurt by it. You know, authors are very, very touchy, as I know myself. And this is the one thing about the whole series which really makes me rather sad. And should he be listening, I apologize.
Thank you very much. That was marvellous.
Good.
Marvellous.
Good.
Have we covered everything you wanted to say?
I think so. Thank you. There are lots of other things I could go on by the hour. I'm a great gabbler. I don't think there's anything else.
Is that all right, Anita?